Central Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app. 105.5 WIRI, Nacoosa, Wisconsin Rapids. Your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Maybe an isolated evening storm, partly cloudy tonight, a little hazy from smoke and lows in the mid-50s. And it still could be a touch hazy with sun tomorrow. Nice day, though. Highs in the mid-70s. And it stays nice on Friday. More sun and upper 70s. Currently, it's 72 degrees.
Afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to Playmakers. Let's get it going. Hope y'all are having a great Wednesday out there. James behind Mike. Not alone. I got Michael joining us in a little bit, and I got all of you to hang out with. Hit us in the numbers. Give us a call, 715-424-2600. We'd love to hear your sports takes and feelings. Big thank you to Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods sponsoring the hour. We're going to talk our schedule here with Rafter Baseball as we're getting close to the end of the season. We'll talk a little bit about that. Continue some baseball talk with the MLB trade deadline going on nonstop right now. Plenty of that to talk about. Or is there? Some of the conversation is what isn't happening. And I want to talk a little Packer football with Michael when he gets in here. A couple of things that have happened with the Packers since the last time we checked in on them, including training camp stuff that I'm a little curious to get Michael's take on. Want to talk with all of you about it as well. Want to hear your takes, your feelings. Call up, join the conversation. Let us know what you're thinking and feeling. Since Michael is not here, and for those that don't know, Mike's a Cardinals fan, I'm going to go ahead and talk about a Cub. That's my fumbling way of trying to talk about Ryan Sandberg. I don't think it has to be a solemn thing to talk about. While we did lose him way too young, and this passes way past rivalries of teams. It doesn't matter what teams Ryan Sandberg played for. He passed way too young, and he gave a lot to the game and entertained a lot of us for a long time. I had a couple of interesting stats on Sandberg that I'm pretty sure most of you have heard by now with his passing. He won 9 Golden Glove Awards, a record for a second baseman, was a 10-time All-Star, led the NL in home runs with 40 back in 1990, which is a rare feat for a second baseman. Not many ever led the league in home runs. Did you know Golden Gloves and Silver Sluggers? Sandberg won 9 Golden Gloves, and then Fieldy won 7 Silver Slugger Awards. He was also a home run derby champion. One of my favorite all-star games, the Cub all-star game in 1990 at Wrigley Field. Sandberg won the home run derby, and it was awesome. I'm not a big Cub guy or anything. I don't mind them, but they're not my favorite team. My favorite team is bad, very bad, and they play on the south side of town. But growing up, WGN was always on the TV, and they were the only team we really got to see. You know, the Sox weren't really on TV, and this was how you got baseball back then, because I'm old. You got to watch one team, pretty much, your regional team. And that's what I saw, and I saw a lot of Mr. Sandberg and those early Cub teams. And I remember him in a bit of a stoic way as a kid. Because he wasn't too boisterous. He went out there, did his job, and was really good. I remember him being a five-tool guy, and one of the early people I remember as an example. I'd heard my dad and my papa talk about these guys. I hadn't seen a lot of examples of these guys that could do everything at a 10, fielding, defense, hitting, home runs, stealing, running the bases smartly, everything. He's a heck of a player. A heck of a player, gone way too young. And I will say this to his friends and family, to people that cared about him. If it brings any comfort, I can't be the only family that went through this. When the news broke, I had teaching, I get back, and I know that I got to tell my dad this. And I know how much my dad loves him. And we've been hit by a lot of loss in my family lately, so I'm not really looking forward to giving this news. So I go up there and I start talking to him, and we get into a conversation. And he's solemn about it, and he can't believe that he's older than Ryan is as he's passing. My dad just turned 70, Sandberg was 65 when he passed. And we're talking, and within about 10 minutes, the conversation comes up. That is so darn comforting between men and how we grieve. Who's the greatest second baseman of all time? This is how we grieve. This is how we heal. And immediately my dad is just, because I think I'm going to win him over, Michael. Michael Comer joining us. Thanks for being here, brother.
Thanks, man.
I think, okay, I can make my dad smile here. I think Sandberg's the greatest second baseman I ever saw, maybe the greatest of all time or whatever. My dad immediately, as much as he loves Rhino, well, I don't know, Jimmy, you got Joe Morgan, you got, you know, and he starts just going on and on and starts talking about old school players and everything. And before I know it, like 10, 15 minutes in it, we're smiling and we're reminiscing about great plays that we saw from not just Sandberg, but just great second baseman. And that's what I'd like us to be able to do as a sports show when we're talking about him. I want to come up with a good conversation to come from it. I want something good to come from this. So I want to open up the debate. We're going to have Seth in on Friday with us, and we'll really dive into it. But I want your favorite or who you think is the greatest second baseman of all time. I think it might be the funnest position to debate, Michael.
Shortstop's up there, but there's
absolutely.
Some.
Absolutely. I thought it was too easy, but I was right with you, man. I love shortstop, so I would love to have
anything
that
with a hot corner in the middle.
Yeah, man.
I mean,
it's tough to really, like, I mean, there are some good ones, but there's also not that many at second.
No.
And that's kind of wild when you think about how long this game has been played. It's pretty incredible. So we had a fun conversation with that. I want to continue that with all of you. I want your favorite second baseman of all time or who you think is the greatest second baseman. Any of those answers will get you Rafter tickets. I also got some passes here with them, along with the schedule. You will have that for your prize. There are no wrong answers, by the way. As long as he actually played second, don't give me an outfielder. I can't give you the tickets then. I'm sorry. There's got to be some rules here. There's got to be some rules.
Man, there's so many of them. I mean, if you want to talk for a historic point, I mean, Jackie Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Historic right
period.
There.
Period. Yeah.
But, you know, just AI is a good thing, a bad thing, and it gives you a quick overview, because I'm thinking, how many do I actually know? Not too many of them.
Right,
and
I had to look up a bunch, too.
I like the name Napoli Joey.
Joey. The old school baseball names are the greatest.
But there's one I got to go with, because it would be mine in St. Louis. Rogers Hornsby.
Yeah, Rogers Hornsby. That's who my dad mentioned. My dad said Hornsby, Morgan and Hornsby were the ones that he would choose.
Joe Morgan would be another one.
His order was Morgan, Hornsby, and then Sandberg.
Eddie Collins is in there.
Roberto
Alomar, Rod Carew.
I saw Carew in there, and I forgot that Carew had played second. I forgot about Alomar playing second, too. Oh, yeah. I think of the Alomars at catcher so much. I think catcher's it seems like it's a fun one, but right away when you start looking at it, you're like, okay, there's like three, four choices.
But then there's, Chase Utley, and Altuve would be there, but minus the cheating of the World Series.
Although you're right, he's a good mention.
He is. He's a little feller. I mean, you got to cheer for the little guy.
Absolutely. We're big fans of that. Underdogs around here. That's what this whole show is made up of. we'll keep that conversation going. You go ahead and let us know. Get those Rafter tickets. And again, a big thank you to Ryan Sandberg for an amazing life, career. Really enjoyed watching him play as a kid.
It's, you know, when I called in on Friday, it's been a tough week, man.
Yeah.
And it goes from sports to music to pop culture with Ozzy and Connie Francis and Chuck Mangione.
Too many.
And the Hulk brother.
Too many.
I mean, then what was it? We almost lost Dion?
Yeah. Thankful to see that press conference go the way it was.
Yeah.
I will say I don't follow him on social media, so I didn't know a whole lot of what was going on, but he was building this up, I guess. And I don't know the right words for this, but there were people out there who, I don't know, disappointed that the news wasn't heavier or something and that he had built something up. That's on you. Whatever happened there, I don't know, and I'm not going to pretend to know. I'm not one of those people jumping in the air, and I'm sure that there is context to this that I probably should know. But I will say that anytime in when it comes to, you know, people putting stuff out there and how you take it in.
Yep.
You have to have some responsibility here. You can look into these things. You don't just have to take what's thrown at you and like, oh, well, that's certainly a fact. Or, oh, that's the truth. Like, I mean, do a little digging. Well, we got these supercomputers we're walking around with here and everything. And I know they're not the most reliable thing in the world. But one of the things they can help you do is decipher what is true and what isn't more times than not.
Yeah.
I'm just happy that he's all right. And I would like to think that, you know, there's another part of this, too. There's some stuff you can just keep in your head. You don't have to share everything.
Right.
You really don't. You know, don't have to hit send on everything.
I'm curious with some of this, and it's his health, and it's none of my business, none of your business either. Mm-hmm. But you know, he elaborated on it, and he had his bladder flat out removed.
It's insane,
And I don't know a lot about bladder cancer. I don't know a lot about cancers as that is, other than it's not good.
Yeah, I mean, right.
And I'm not making light of it. It's
you're
good.
Right. Yeah.
And I wonder, right in that area too, the prostate, prostate's one of the leading causes of death in men.
Yep.
So that's Dion's one of those guys that when I was a kid in the mid early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Dion, God, I hate Dion. And am I a real big fan of Dion now? No.
Mm.
But you look back and, man, I got to see Prime in his prime time.
Mm-hmm.
I got to see that.
We saw the last great two-sport athlete.
No.
Honestly, we're not going to see that again. So, there's too much money, too much effort. They're never going to let another athlete get away
right.
with that.
And that's why I'm like, man, that's where it hits a little home. These childhood heroes that we've all lost this last week and a half. That it's like, man, wow, that's... And as you get older, it's something that, men out there, I'll do the public service here, get yourself checked.
Yep,
there's no way around it. A man gets himself checked.
We've lost
that's
people
way it
around
is.
Here because
oh,
of this.
Yeah.
I've been the pallbearer for somebody that lost it, and more times than not, it is because of a not wanting to get checked or not making the time. I think men have gotten a lot better about getting it done. Just make the time for yourself to do it. And not enough guys. My father is one of these people. I'm one of these people. Oh, I got to work. Oh, I got to work. I got to work. Man, I cannot take those hours with me.
Right.
And I got to be here. I have a job as a man. I'm supposed to be here for people to count on me.
Yep.
I'm not doing my job if I don't get checked.
Right. And that's the bottom line is you...
I'm going to take myself out for dinner after.
Right. That's right. You better.
I'm definitely doing that. But I'm getting checked.
At the end of the day, get yourself checked. If you don't feel right, you need to go in.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, Dion caught it before it turned into a whole ESPN week thinking of him.
Yeah.
And even a national week of thinking of him. And, I hope nothing but the best for him and his family. And I hope he gets to lead some good wins here in Boulder. And he gets to watch his boy play a little bit in Cleveland. And, I'm just glad he didn't end up like some of our heroes.
We've lost enough for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go ahead and let the Grim Reaper take a vacation. It's summer. Take some time off. I'm keeping an eye on the trade deadline here. Jeff Passan's been great about this. The Mariners have acquired left-handed reliever Caleb Ferguson. I know how much everybody was wondering what was going to happen with Caleb Ferguson.
Yeah.
It turns out he's a Seattle Mariner now.
Good for him.
This is a lot of what the trade deadline is going to be.
I remember watching it in the past that just, I scroll, and refresh.
I don't see a lot of big names going this year. And when it tells you that one of
them. It's going to be quiet.
It just is. It's just going to be that way. But I am curious to see what happens with some stuff just because you have a team like San Francisco that traded, went all in for Devers, made a big move there. And then I just see that they traded one of their relievers to Giants. So they're a seller. So they just went from being a buyer to a seller within a month just because of one bad trade. And that stuff is always interesting.
You said the Giants, right?
The Giants,
Yep. Because I spaced on that. So
I think that's interesting when that happens, and I like keeping an eye on that stuff. Just because, especially to me, when it happens, it's one thing to happen to an average team or a team that, they're knuckleheads. The Giants are a very smart-run franchise.
It's all a gamble. It's all a gamble, man.
Yeah.
It's just like drafting in the NFL or NBA or anything. It's like Wemby, in San Antonio. Is he a great basketball player? Yes. Is he at this point in his career? Is he Hall of Fame? No. Has he lived up to expectations? No. Mm-hmm. I mean, Derrick Rose, very good, but is he a Hall of Famer because of all the all the injuries? All the injuries that you draft him high.
That kills me.
Joe Kim Noah. There's another one. He was a beast in college, and he started well in the pros, but then nothing.
Derrick Rose was everything I wanted out of a basketball player.
Yeah.
He was a Chicagoan. He played for this high school that my dad and my mom went to. He was went to the Bulls. All these different things about him that I was so hyped and so excited about. I didn't care how many games they won. I just wanted to see Derrick grow as a player.
Yep.
To see him turn into his career into what he did was very impressive. And I don't mean just the MVP or anything. I'm I might be more impressed when he stayed in the league as long as he did with the injuries he did.
Well, yeah.
I will say he has an outside shot just because basketball lets a lot of people in.
Yeah, they do.
And it encompasses your whole career, your high school, your college, your Olympic career. So,
it's not like baseball is what you're saying.
We can all be honest. They're doing it because they like him if he gets it. If they don't like him, then he's probably never going to get.
Right.
And he probably, I don't know that even he believes he's a Hall of Famer. I'm sure that he would be the first one to tell you that, well, I just didn't do it long enough at a good enough level and all that.
Right.
But I know what you're saying there. You just got me thinking about Derrick Rose for a minute.
Yeah, well, I figured I might have tripped the trigger on that.
You might have. You also mentioned another sport there, Michael, and I want to do my own PSA now, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Everybody, this startup league, the NFL, really wants everybody to know that tomorrow is their Hall of Fame game.
Yes.
Did anybody else know that the Hall of Fame game's tomorrow? Like I did. Michael did.
I've been harping on it for weeks.
But we're insane. We love football. I don't know if the average fan out there knows. I have not seen a lot of press about it. I've not seen a lot of commercials or anything like that. I thought that was interesting. You've got for those that don't know, the game's being played tomorrow, it is. And you've got the Chargers and Lions facing off, which I think will be interesting. And because we're going to see backups, and I'm thinking of the backups for both of these teams.
Yep.
They got some really nice, interesting pieces to them.
Yeah, they do.
And, of course, the biggest thing that I watch for in the preseason, injuries. That's my biggest thing. I could care less about stats. Don't tell me about so-and-so being, 14 of 15 and throwing two touchdowns and blah, 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 and everything. Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. Is he healthy? That's what I care about. That is all I care about is health. And I want to get into that a little bit and talk a little Packers training camp with you, Michael.
Yeah.
Because there's been some recent news about the Packers that have been interesting to me. Now, catching everybody up, a couple of quick notes. Nathaniel Hackett is back in Lambeau. He is helping with the defense now. So I thought that was interesting.
He's an advisor.
Yeah, I didn't see anybody really touching on that. I thought we should mention it.
That's a position that is coming in all levels of football
it
now.
Really whether is.
I know a guy who's
a good moneymaker too.
Well, yeah, I mean at the high school level, I don't know about that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He's not coaching anymore. But he's going to be advising defense because that's what he was a guru at, and he'll be advising one of our local teams. And I sit here and say, you know what? It's unfortunate he's not coaching, but he's still going to have his fingerprints all over it and giving an advisory role, kind of pointing out, hey, this is how I would attack their offense. And that's essentially what it is. I mean, who was it? Robert Saleh came in for Green Bay last year, if I remember correctly. And same goes for now Nathaniel Hackett. He's going to be advising the defense of if I was running offense, this is how I would attack you. And I think that helps a lot. And with Rich Bisaccia as an assistant head coach, people can when they hired Rich Bisaccia, they loved him. And now that he's here, they hate him.
I don't get it.
Well, same with Dom Capers. They did the same thing with Dom Capers, too.
Dom Capers, I remember that.
And always just never – it went Dom Capers, then Joe Barry was in there somewhere. And anyways, fire this guy. Well, just be careful who you get in there.
Yeah.
Well, then they brought in Joe Barry. And fire Joe Barry. Okay, well now you got Heffley, and that's so far okay, I think.
Yeah.
But, man, that advisory role is it's really interesting. It's a way to get your way back into coaching.
Yes, that is really
and
cool
I think that
see,
that
think.
Elevates the game and your team's game because every set of eyes. James, me and you could look at something, for an example. We watch the Brewers play. We see it two different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And does that help? Well, I mean, if they talk to us, maybe.
Yeah.
But we could
715-424-2600.
Yeah, come on, call on in.
Call on in.
I'd love to hear what you guys think about that and everything else, of course. But the point is, the more eyes you have looking at a problem, the easier it is to solve it.
Absolutely.
So that's why this advisory role is wonderful on the football level, and it's probably the only sport that it really works at.
Yeah, I don't know that, especially like if I'm thinking, you already have it in baseball, it's the other players, it's assistants, yeah, to managers. We always see before a guy's even getting into the dugout, or, I mean, into the batter's box, he's talking to another player, and they're talking about something that the pitcher does to give something away. There's all kinds of that. This is such a for one, it's such a football move. It's such a football, like, I'm overthinking everything kind of thing, and I know this is one of the world's biggest overthinkers. I couldn't agree with you more about some of the other things you mentioned. All the things you mentioned there, every one of them I agree with, especially giving coaches like this an opportunity to get their foot back in the door into coaching.
Because, right, I mean, let's face it, Aaron Rodgers killed Robert Saleh. Again.
Yeah. Well, I will say that Russell Wilson hurt, certainly wounded him with his time in Denver and how that went and everything. I like Russell Wilson. I'm a Russell Wilson fan.
And you could say the same thing with Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll in Seattle. And now Pete Carroll's, what, in Vegas now?
It's crazy. I still have to get used to that.
Yeah. And I mean, and Pete Carroll was an advisor for Seattle after Russell left, and obviously he's done well enough to get back in there. Of course, it being Pete Carroll, too.
Yeah, yeah. One of the best that has really, when you think about it, has done it. College, pros, not many guys have been able to accomplish what he has, winning a title in both. You know, college and the pros. And the other note I wanted to mention about the Packers as far as off the field, they have received $432.6 million in revenue sharing, which means that the 32 teams, the NFL, brought in a record $13.8 billion in revenue in the last fiscal year, a good year for the Green Bay organization. That means something to a lot of franchises. It means everything to the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
And to keep that, and not just the thing that Gutekunst and Mark Murphy and many of these guys have mentioned, and I think that your really true fans hear this. As much as you want to know about transactions, as much as you want to know what's going on in the training camp and with the players, you hear this as a Packer fan, and maybe it's handed down to you through many of your relatives as Packer fans, but this is how we stay alive. This is how they can't get rid of us.
Well, this is how Green Bay stays alive. Right, the city of Green Bay, not just the Packers.
Right, right. As a person that, again, we root for the underdog. We love that small town thing and everything. I like hearing that story. I saw that. Wanted to make sure that even if there was one person out there that hadn't heard that, we touch on that. Not to say that you might have been worried about it anyway, but just in case that ever creeped up in your head, that franchise ain't going nowhere. That franchise is set because of the biggest where all of our answers end up, money. It is a moneymaker for the NFL.
You segued me here.
It is a gigantic one.
You segued me here. And what that is one of the last press conferences that I think it was Murphy had. He said, within the next 5 to 10 years, you're going to be seeing Green Bay play a lot internationally. Mm. Now, with that being said, you're darned if you do, darned if you don't. And with that being said, Green Bay draws internationally. Why do you think there was such a big, humongous deal that they played in London 2 years ago? Mm. I mean, there's been London games forever, but Green Bay went. Okay, that is huge, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now let's look ahead. They went and played in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Oh boy, the first one there. And now for the longest time, they're saying they're going to play in Ireland, which they're not going to this year. They're staying in the United States minus Illinois. And it's just going to be the way it is. Now, they signed a huge contract, international marketing rights, that if you go to England, you go to Ireland, you go to Germany, you are probably going to see Packer games on their TVs, mm-hmm. on their cable, on their set, whatever they do, because Green Bay sells.
Yep.
Green Bay is, and it doesn't also hurt with a lot of the heritage in the state being Western European.
Absolutely.
Now, the thing that I will argue about, and you and I have been talking about this for as long as I've been on the show with you, which is just about a year now, buddy. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Nice. So what I'm getting at with this is I hate that they're playing internationally. I'm tired of all these international games. Yeah. I'm tired of them going all over Billy you-know-what to play these games. The economic impact of a game in Green Bay is what? 2 million? Oh, a million, 2 million a game? Yeah. I'd have to talk to my sister about that. Oh, yeah, up and up and up. Well, I mean, what did the draft do?
Mm-hmm.
And they want to start taking that internationally, too.
Yeah.
Which, come on, don't do that.
Yeah, man, it's the logistical nightmare with all those kids trying to...
You're asking for more trouble than good.
Yeah.
That is why I think, in my opinion, if Green Bay was smart, which... They are very intelligent. Don't get me wrong. They should say they will not give up a home game internationally. They will be the visitor every time.
Mm-hmm.
The economic impact in northeastern Wisconsin, and I'm not saying just Green Bay. You go from the Bay, Little Suamico, North Chase, Pulaski. You go even to Manitowoc, Sheboygan, Fond du Lac, Oshkosh. You head down even to Beaver Dam, Milwaukee even. The whole eastern part of the state. But there's people that'll get rooms in Wausau and jump on 29 and go.
Yeah.
So they are... By sending Green Bay out of town for a home game, man, are they... I mean, sure, it's just one game. I get it. And I don't think Green Bay will lose more than one home game a year. But, I mean, look at Jacksonville. Half their schedule is played wherever.
It feels like... it feels so much... that we have not seen... And granted, I do agree and I do admit that some of this is stuff that they're planning for the long con, the big game, the big picture.
That's what they're doing.
So I agree to that. But also with that said, you touched on something else, Michael. We've been doing this a long time. This has been going on since we were kids playing international games.
You remember NFL Europe?
Yep. It's all been built the game.
Which was kind of cool if you think
about
it.
And I love it. And I thought NFL Europe was cool as a kid because I was a kid and they didn't understand business and how this whole thing works. And you know what you don't do? But you know how you don't grow a sport? You don't force it on people. You don't make it so that it's just in their face 24/7 or anything like that. That's not how you do this. How you do it is internationally and seem like a tapestry. Like it's a part of the culture. It's a part of something else. You let them discover it. You let them find it and enjoy it. That's how all sports grow. And the other thing you do is instead of dragging your NFL teams and players and coaching staffs
and screaming
over to Brazil. How about you do this, NFL? Build a stadium there, or build some fields there. Build some fields at the local high schools, and build the sport that way. Because that's how you truly do it. Because NHL and MLB get this, and that's why all around the country, the last 20 some years, hockey team NHL has been going around. Hey, the Blackhawks, you build a go ahead and put an ice rink on the south side of Chicago, and let a bunch of those kids play hockey for the first time in their lives. Hey, we're going to put a baseball field in this area that's never had one. This rural town that has 500 people, we're going to give them a baseball field. That's how you grow a sport. Not by bringing this carnival over there and making these players play a game. And most importantly, maybe to all of this, other than player safety and all of that, is the big thing that Michael's touching on. It's important for every franchise. It can be life or death with the Packers and that area. They need it more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, unfortunately, in an unfortunate situation in some ways. They need it so badly. That's also one of the charms of that team. If Green Bay was the size of Madison and Milwaukee together or something like that, the charm ain't there. Part of the charm is that. Lean into that by giving them the week, giving them the game, and let them be an away game.
You can
away week, to your point.
Yeah, you can literally walk across the street from your living room and be at Lambeau Field. You don't have that anywhere else that I know of. Granted, I haven't gone snooping around in all these NFL cities to housing, good housing developments to stadiums. But the one thing I will say is, well, that should be an assignment. Get Melissa Kay over there interview people who show up from international Lambeau Field. Because, you know, James, I've touched on this in other conversations. I've met Scots, Irish, British, Germans, Spanish, Portuguese, Italians, Australians, Japanese. Oh boy, I mean, I think Indian people from all over the world. Brazil. Just Argentina, I think, was another one, too. Mm-hmm. Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I've met people from all over this world that I never would have been able to meet any other time. And I travel a bit, except for going to a Packer game. I never would have met any of them if it wasn't for the Packers. And that's one where I, you know, Melissa, come on over. Yeah. Let's, you know, start talking, interviewing people that would be, you know, just kind of an impact there. Hey, Civic Media, hope you're listening. Send somebody over there to do that and just show that the NFL, what they're doing there is, with all those people coming internationally to Green Bay, that's the kicker, to Green Bay. They can go anywhere in the world, and they've got fans all over the world. Mm. But it's growing so much that people want to come here for it, and they're just dipping even further into that by sending the teams elsewhere.
And there's no evidence to me that it's any growth has happened because of international games. I've looked into this, looked for data. And there's just talk. There's no numbers. There's no nothing. No true evidence. It's just, well, we feel like, or well, we're seeing this. No, that's not good enough. Not good enough for me to take away a team's home game. That's just not good enough.
I agree.
However, I do love the idea of Melissa in Lambeau during a game and doing reporting, because Mel don't know. She knows her stuff, and she is one of the smartest people I have known. But she don't know sports, so I will be there as
love
her interpreter.
To death,
I will be able to interpret for her what the fans are saying, and then I get to go to Lambeau Field. We will take a quick timeout. We'll be right back. Thanks to our friends at Family Natural Foods and Quality Products Training, is Michael and James taking you through Playmakers.
What's faster than a speeding bullet and more powerful than a locomotive? Your potential when you partner with WAM Incorporated. WAM Inc. is your source for promotional power. From custom apparel, pens, tumblers, magnets, and beyond, we've got everything needed to win the day. You can also soar onto our new website, whaminc.com. WAM Inc. for the hero in you.
Summer gatherings happen around the grill, so make sure whatever you're grilling is delicious and healthy. Family Natural Foods prides themselves in providing quality, free-range, hormone-free chicken, beef, shrimp, Alaskan salmon, and for something special, buffalo. All great for the grill. Family Natural Foods carries the summer family essentials, all-natural bug spray and sunscreen, flea and tick for your four-legged friends, and electrolytes to keep you hydrated. Family Natural Foods, your home for making this summer great. Family Natural Foods, West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Baby bald eagles near the Great Lakes are testing positive for PFAS and other toxic chemicals. Researchers found that eagles living near the Great Lakes had 6 times more toxic chemicals in their bloodstreams than inland populations. Other chemicals found in the baby eagles' bloodstreams were DDT and PCBs, which were banned decades ago. A small Wisconsin school district just got some big clean energy bragging rights. The Elva Strum School District in Trempealeau County unveiled 184 ground mount solar panels that will deliver about 20% of the district's energy needs and will be a living classroom for students to learn about solar energy and energy data. The installation cost $150,000 and will pay for itself through energy bill savings in about 8 years. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org. or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everyone. I'm Craig Orndorff. On the next weekend in the country, we're going back to the 1st of August in 1983. There were a rash of plane hijackings to Cuba. National Lampoon's Vacation was at the movies, and Hal Sutton won the PGA Championship. And on the countdown that week were John Conley, Janie Fricke, the Oak Ridge Boys, George Strait, and Ronnie McDowell. We'll have them and more on the next weekend in the country.
Sunday nights from 6 to 8 on 105.5 WIRI.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Maybe an isolated evening storm, partly cloudy tonight, a little hazy from smoke and lows in the mid-50s. And it still could be a touch hazy with sun tomorrow. Nice day, though. Highs in the mid-70s. And it stays nice on Friday. More sun and upper 70s. Currently at 75 degrees.
Welcome back, everyone. Playmakers here on 105.5 WIRI. Thanks for joining us, Michael and James here.
We're here to take your calls. Give us your sports takes and feelings. Don't keep them inside. Let it out. 715-424-2600. Call up or join us through the Civic Media app as well. You can text us through there if you'd like. We will get into the baseball trade deadline, and I'm going to be keeping an eye on that, seeing what's going on there. Brewers, another big victory for them today.
No.
Little. No.
Fake news, James.
Fake news. Yep. Don't believe me. You know what I wanted to say? It was a big day for Wilson Contreras. That's what I wanted to say. He had two homers, yeah. and a losing effort is where I was going with that.
Wait a minute.
What I was going to do was try to talk about them losing as I was looking at our good story of the day and one of our good stories of the show. Brewers hitting coach Al LaBeouf, back from a cancer surgery. As we started the show or started the hour talking about Ryan Sandberg and losing somebody, I wanted to start this hour talking about having a good story and having somebody come back. Congratulations and good on him and good for the Brewers, of course.
Any relation to Shea?
I don't know. Yeah, we have to check into that. Wishing him well and good to see that. Good to hear that. And we'll keep an eye on baseball, see what's going on there. But I did have some more football talk I wanted to do with you, Michael.
Yeah.
One of the tougher things I got to think as a coach to do. I only know this as an athlete, and I will use because as much as I know sports and I grew up around it and with an athlete and all those things, and all my family were athletes. I know acting better than darn near anything. I'll take my acting knowledge up against anybody. I've been studying it since I was 7 years old. I've gone to school for it. I've done over 100 characters. I know my stuff. So I will use.
You've done a good job. I mean, you've worked with Patrick Mahomes.
I will. I will use Nicolas Cage as an example. Nicolas Cage.
Put the bunny down.
Most people know Nick Cage, and Nicolas Cage in the acting community is known as not only a respected and good actor, but a guy that you got to keep an eye on because Nicolas Cage can take a character that only needs to be at a 10 to 100, and he's just way too big, way too much for this role, to the scene. He's overacting and all this, and that is because Nicolas Cage only knows one speed. So you need a good director
and make sure you put the bunny down.
You need somebody that can pull him back, and if you do that, you get an Oscar-winning performance.
That's John Travolta did in Face Off.
He did. God, that movie.
Love it.
So with that as an example, how much is too much? How do you hold a guy? We're going to train NFL training camps. The only way for NFL players to truly get ready for the game is to get hit.
Yep.
To get hit and to your body's muscle memory to remember what it's like to be hit, how to absorb a hit. In boxing, my dad taught me this at a young age because he knew I was going to get in a lot of fights and I am not that big. How to absorb a punch. Mm-hmm. How to take a punch and take it so that the force doesn't hit you as hard as it could. All these things.
Yeah.
All that said, what they've done in Packers training camp is pretty obvious right now.
Oh, they're giving them attitude.
They want to punch in the mouth. They want to be that kind of defense. And we're seeing that with some of the fights that are breaking out and some of that. For those that didn't hear, the end of practice, Tuesday's practice, ended really interesting. Tempers flared on the second day of pads as LaFleur had seen enough. Left tackle Rashid Walker drew the ire of LaFleur after Walker appeared to pull down defensive end Kingsley Edibare after a play. LaFleur yanked Walker and the rest of the starters and told Walker to run. Walker hesitated, but after the rest of the starting O-line plus tight end Tucker Kraft and running back Josh Jacobs started to run, he joined them.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys were not told to do that. They just did as a cohesive unit.
We all are running, as I think the quote was.
We're seeing something with this team there. Now, I don't know how to really put this into words.
Don't hand them the Lombardi already because there's so much that's got to happen. But you got to admire that they're gelling as a team.
Yeah.
They have each other's back.
You can't teach tough.
Right.
You can't make tough.
But you can teach an attitude.
You have to. I don't think you can. I think you have to. Every single human being has it in them.
Yeah.
Everybody can find that in them. They've got to pull it out of themselves.
Okay.
And you've got to give them the opportunity.
opportunity to do it. So we actually are agreeing here like we usually do. We agree. We're just saying it differently, yeah, coming to it at a different angle. But it is a dice game. It is a roll of the dice what Matt LaFleur is doing right now. But we're seeing a coach and a younger man, because we got to remember this guy is young in coaching and in life. He's figured out something, I think that, okay, there's a point where, look, I get into coaching, I get this opportunity. Some of these guys are older than me. Some of them are my age. I want to be their friend. I want to get along with everybody. I want to take care of it. I want a good locker room. I want everybody happy and all that. And those are all good intentions. And you try doing that for a while, and you run into an Aaron Rodgers or run into some of these other problems that they've had. And okay, I'm figuring it out. And you know what? Sometimes you got to be the dad. Sometimes you just got to be sometimes you have to be willing to be the bad guy in the room and to say the thing that nobody wants to say. Uh-huh. Sometimes you got to be willing to take the punch. And Matt LaFleur is showing, okay, if I can't get these guys to rally behind me and all of this, they'll rally behind themselves. And I'm not saying he's trying to divide the locker room or he's trying to be something he isn't or anything like that. I'm saying that this smart individual has, I think, figured out his team and has figured out how to gel them and rile them up at the same time. And I think, as somebody who has been clamoring, hey, they need a killer on that defense. Hey, they need a killer on that defense. Well,
I think they found one.
If you can't get one, make one. And I think that's a part of what they're doing right now, is trying to make killers on that defense and trying to enhance that. They've got that is what's happened yesterday for today's news. And a big shout out, as always, to Rob Dombrowski, who's doing incredible reporting over there. Wendell Davis has changed his name. For those that don't know,
Wendell, BK, baby.
A great player and has been a great coach, but has decided, as an assistant defensive coordinator to Jeff Hafley, he is now known as Ball King. That is his, I believe his first name is Ball, his last name is King. He is now Ball King. That's what they're calling him. Because of part of where all of this has been building. We've been talking about this since the beginning of training camp and the punching him out in the mouth that the defense has been doing. Where is all this coming from? Well, it turns out, they put Jeff has put Wendell Davis in charge of fumbles, of turnovers, and that is where a lot of this energy is coming from. So all that said, Michael, how much is too much? How hard you push a team and all that? That's an interesting thing to see happening. I think right now, what we're seeing is the perfect line. I think he's walking the perfect line of get physical, get out there. We don't need anybody hurt. We need these guys. Mm-hmm. That's your teammate over there. I know how badly you want to hit people, and it's been months, but remember, we need that running back or we need that wide receiver or something. That line, well, also, I want to know if you got it. I want to know if you're going to give it to me on Sunday. I want to know if you're going to go after that ball. You're going to give me every single thing you got out there. How do you show that in training camp? It's just I don't have any answers. I don't know how it does, but I find it interesting when it's happening, and especially when it's working, because I think it is working in Lambeau right now. I think it is what they're doing is working, and we still got a lot of games, a whole season to play, all that. But if I'm a Packer fan right now, and I've been, hey, get me Trey Hendrickson. Hey, get me this guy. Hey, I want a killer on defense. Ooh, wait a minute. You mean we can make them? Ooh, we can make a killer on D. All right, I'm listening. Okay. One of my favorite players of all time and a guy that I think is the definition of a lot of what I'm talking about here, Charles Tillman didn't start out as the punch king or anything like that. It's a skill he developed in college at Lafayette and was doing a little bit there. And then when he got around Lovie Smith as a the definition of what coaches are supposed to do. You take greatness and make it legendary. Mm-hmm. You take average and make it good. That's the job of coaches. And Matt LaFleur gets that coaching staff gets that. They're building this team up.
With Green Bay, what they're doing there is you can see it in some of the games that they got beat in. And you can look when they played that team in silver and Honolulu blue. You can see when they played 49ers. You can see when they played Philly. They got punched in the mouth and they didn't like it. But they didn't respond to it. They yes. got pushed around.
Yes.
Who likes getting punched in the mouth?
Yeah, you know that. But the key part of that, I think, is they didn't respond.
Yeah. I mean, a couple guys did. I mean, everyone's different. Everyone responds to that.
I feel like Quay Walker's always ready to respond.
Yeah.
A little too much, no, maybe.
Especially if you're a physical trainer. But, sorry, too soon. Sorry.
Good.
I'm sorry. That was mean. But not unfounded. But either way, you have guys now that what I'm trying to say is, what has Philly done? They've competed in back-to-back Super Bowls. They won one of them. You know how they got their back-to-back years? Because they punched you in the mouth. Mm-hmm. And not just Green Bay, but everybody repeatedly.
Everybody.
Now, 49ers, too. They got back-to-back or two out of three Super Bowls. How'd they do it? They punched you in the mouth. And they beat Green Bay doing that, too. And Green Bay, again, didn't respond well to it. How about some of those Ravens teams? Now, ignore who's on the teams. What did they do? They punched you in the mouth.
Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl at quarterback by his defense punching people in the mouth.
Yep.
Rex Grossman almost won one because of his defense punching people in the mouth. The only reason they got there is because their defense was punching people in the mouth. I mean,
right.
Especially all sports leagues do this. Everything is parody. But for a league that has been so the most paradising of all of them, the NFL, oh, this works, I'm going to do it too. Nobody does that like the NFL.
Right.
Nobody seems to get this. Even the phrase, this oldest time, defense wins championships, you still see teams completely disregard the defense and like, well, we can score more than them.
2011 Green Bay.
No, you can't. No, you can't.
2011 Green Bay.
You can't outscore them. There's no, if the greatest show on turf or half of these other times that you haven't seen by now, that offense will get you wins. Offense can get you to the playoffs. Offense can help you win a round in the playoffs. But nobody is winning a championship without a killer defense.
Right.
I mentioned the Bears in part because they ran up against a defense that was good and a quarterback that was legendary. You combine something like that, there's an outlier. I'll mm-hmm. give you that. But even that was a good defense. Yeah, Bob Sanders yeah. sitting back there at 5'2 or whatever it was, just ball hawking, just destroying mm-hmm. Dwight Freeney up front. I mean, yeah. That
you had disruptors, exactly. But you had guys that
Killers.
Come up and
Killers.
Punch you in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, I mean, you know, I mentioned just right now, 2011 Packers. That was one where Ted Thompson supposedly had said, and I'm not speaking ill of the guy by any means, we have the greatest quarterback in the game right now with a whole bunch of guys that can catch the ball. We are going to score more than everybody else. We don't need to focus on defense. And that was some of the undoing of Dom Capers, and that's very unfortunate because I still think Dom Capers is a decent coordinator.
Oh, yeah.
But
Dom Capers,
at the same time, that's at the end of the day, what you're seeing in Green Bay right now is them showing that, okay, we're not going to take any guff. You want to give us crap, we're going to give you crap right back. You punch us, we're going to punch you back twice. Now, the problem is, okay, so Green Bay does that. That's the way they're going to play. They go 3-0 in the preseason. Well, we saw Detroit go 4-0 in the preseason and then didn't win a game. Now, is Green Bay going to lose every? No, they're not. They got Dallas on the schedule. Mm-hmm. They got the Bears twice. They got Cleveland. I mean, okay, you're going to win a few games. But you can't – you don't win titles in August and September. Mm. You win titles in January and December and mm-hmm. February. You play it in – you win them in bad weather, which now I'm curious about how does Green Bay respond to poor weather, because this is another thing that I've noticed over the last few years, and this has been a complaint of mine standing up there in Section 107. Mm. When it gets a little chilly even, and I mean not cold but chilly, you're seeing Packers players putting the parkas on.
Yeah, you don't.
Bothers me.
This is a very different team in that regard with the weather than they've had in the last 20, 30 years, where every one of those teams, they had some flash, they had some nuance here and there, but it was built for all season. They were all season tires, mm-hmm. every one of those teams. This team is not. This team, I almost wouldn't want home games in December if I'm with this team. I don't know that I trust Jordan Love in that weather, and that's the key piece of this. Now, Josh Jacobs, I do, and to a major degree. Yeah. I don't know that how much that can win you an NFC Championship game in Lambeau.
Well, it depends.
Maybe it can though.
But if you have that defense that we were just talking about,
then you can.
Because that's the one thing. Defense, if you have a good defense, it's going to play well no matter the conditions.
Defense travels. Defense
it doesn't
travels.
Matter.
Yep. Yep.
You just watch the ball move. Don't jump. You're fine.
Heck, I've heard some legends of the game talk about in those cold games, those fog games, that's when they eat. They love that. Because every offense is built on timing. Every offense. Look at the Miami offense. One little thing goes wrong. Tua doesn't have one extra second. Everything falls apart. Turnover. The defense is just sitting back there, just licking their lips. It's like, all right, let's do this. I like the fog. I like that.
The problem with Tua is there's something bigger there.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not making fun of the man.
No. I've talked about this. I don't trust him. Everybody in the world knows what your weakness is and what you need to be protected. And everybody is fighting for you to be on that field, including your friends and family. Mm-hmm. And you go out there and your actions are, okay, I'm going to get tackled. I'm out of the pocket. I'm going to lead with my head. That's not a smart, intelligent human being doing that.
No. Nope.
At least in that moment. That's a dumb move, man.
There's
no toughness to that. We're fighting to get you out there. Our team counts on you. Without you, we got nothing. Stay healthy. Slide. For the love of God, slide. I don't want a player like that. I don't care. His injuries, his heart, all of that stuff. And you know how I feel about Samoan players.
Yeah.
There's a lot that I would normally like about a player. I saw him do that. I'm done.
Yep.
I'm not defending him anymore.
Can only go to the well so many times.
There
brother.
Has to be personal responsibility. You got to be smarter than that. If it was one time, that's one thing. I've seen him do it multiple times.
Oh yeah.
To a point where you almost wonder: is he doing it because he knows people are not? Are they going to pull back because he's leading with his head? Is he using it almost as an advantage or something? And that's twisted.
Well, it is. But in the world of today, being a quarterback, you get breathed on. It's a flag.
Yeah. I do think. That overall, good news for the Packers when it comes to this, and we'll see where it goes. That being said, one of my favorite quotes in sports history, Mike Tyson, everybody got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. This sounds good right now.
On paper.
A month from now, we'll see, a month into the season, we'll see where it's at. You'll see it
tested out really fast in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, true. We'll come back and wrap up the show, Playmakers on WIRI.
Country favorites and classics for all of Central Wisconsin. You've got them right here on 105.5 WIRI.
Summer gatherings happen around the grill, so make sure whatever you're grilling is delicious and healthy. Family Natural Foods prides themselves in providing quality, free-range, hormone-free chicken, beef, shrimp, Alaskan salmon, and for something special, buffalo. All great for the grill. Family Natural Foods carries the summer family essentials, all-natural bug spray and sunscreen, flea and tick for your four-legged friends, and electrolytes to keep you hydrated. Family Natural Foods, your home for making this summer great. Family Natural Foods, West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
What's faster than a speeding bullet and more powerful than a locomotive? Your potential when you partner with WAM Incorporated. WAM Inc. is your source for promotional power. From custom apparel, pens, tumblers, magnets, and beyond, we've got everything needed to win the day. You can also soar onto our new website, WAMInc.com. WAM Inc. for the hero in you.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Think WeatherTech specialists. Next time you hear the weather and visit our friends from TJ's Auto and Collision Center, make sure to protect your vehicle in this Wisconsin weather.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Maybe an isolated evening storm, partly cloudy tonight, a little hazy from smoke and lows in the mid-50s. And it still could be a touch hazy with sun tomorrow. Nice day, though. Highs in the mid-70s. And it stays nice on Friday. More sun and upper 70s. Right now, it's 76.
Welcome back, everybody, to Playmakers here on 105.5 WIRI. From Jimmy to Jimmy here, little Hendrix to play us in on a country stage. I couldn't help it. I couldn't help playing some little Hendrix there. Michael and James here with you to take it to the top of the hour. Great music on the way for you. Laura's got you covered. We're going to have some good stuff there, everybody. Michael did want to touch on this, that the feds are still probing into the NFLPA actions that may be criminal. There might be charges coming for the two gentlemen that have since left the job. But the NFLPA is in shambles, and they're in a very difficult situation right now. Who's going to take over? What they're going to do? There's not a whole lot of new news to this since the last time we talked about it, but I did just want to touch on that we are still keeping our eye on the ball when it comes to that one, and to kind of segue from that into something that I'm going to be getting into with Seth a lot more too. According to Jeff Passan, many are reporting that there is more than likely going to be a labor stoppage in Major League Baseball in 2026. This is something our audience heard about almost a year ago when Seth was talking about it.
Yep.
Very similar to you getting ahead of on the NFLPA stuff and everything. I think it's important to note these things in part because, hey, let's hope it doesn't happen, but more than likely it will, and it all comes down to a salary cap. This is what the owners want, a salary cap. The players don't. That's the basicness of this. There's a lot more to it. There's a lot more context.
The fans do.
I encourage people to look into it more. But the it's billionaires need somebody to tell them no. No, Jeff Kona. No, you're not signing that $300 million player. No. That's what this is about. They can't stop themselves. Now, apparently they can if they own Milwaukee Brewers or they own certain franchises like the Oakland Athletics. And yes, I know they're not in Oakland, but I'm going to keep calling them that until they officially move. There are certainly franchises that don't know how to spend money. Pittsburgh is one of the key ones of these. But for the most part, they just want a salary cap in part so that they have more control. So they have more of a say over these players and what they can do there, and along with being told, no, don't buy that player. Hey, no, you can't do that. Players, of course, want the freedom that my contract can be $400 million and I bet $250. And I think that your average person out there can see both sides of this. But what I see happening with all this is a conversation that I keep coming back to about the difference of ownership and fans, ownership and players and fans, and everything that we talk about. It's something that I've seen my whole life when it comes to producers and creatives. The creative wants to go out there and put out a great movie. The producer wants to make money. There's a big difference there.
Yeah.
Those worlds don't always collide very well.
It's like the producers.
Yes,
you can make
great reference.
You can make more money with a flop than you can with a hit.
Yeah. And that's true for sports, especially when it comes to a franchise that isn't putting out a good winning product, but they still sell out. The people still come to the games. I know that as a Chicago fan. Insert any one of my teams.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen to every one of them, where the Bulls keep selling out even though they suck. These owners just keep collecting their money. You know? The stoppage, whether it happens or not, and I really hope it doesn't, because I love baseball and I don't want to. I'm not one of these people. If baseball goes on strike, I'm never watching again. I'm not going to lie to you. That ain't my bag. I'm not doing that. I'll watch. I'm going to watch.
Me too.
But I am worried about the people out there that are going to stop.
because we saw it happen before, and a lot of them never came back. That's how MMA got big. That's how other sports got big. It wasn't like that. There were brand new sports fans created. Nope. Sports fans are going to sport. They got to go somewhere. They're going to go to a different sport, and usually a summer sport or a sport that's year-round or something like that. I don't want to see this happen for baseball. I also don't see any way around it because the two worlds are so Grand Canyon size apart. And I feel like it's going to be the same old, same old. They're going to strike maybe for 6 months, maybe for a year. They're going to come back and nothing will change.
Yep. Us as fans, we have nothing in common with either one of them. Yeah. It's millionaires fighting with millionaires over millions of dollars. Some say billionaires against billionaires. I don't care what number you're using. We as fans have nothing in common with either one of them.
There's one billionaire athlete, LeBron James. That's it.
I have nothing in common with that guy.
Sure. your average athlete, what they make a year is about double what your average citizen makes, if that. And this is, again, something I've looked into a little bit. That is a hell of a lot closer to us than it is to billions. It's not billionaire on billionaire, man. It's billionaire on millionaire. And it's not even that half the time. I'm not saying that we have a ton in common with players, but you will have for the rest of your life way more in common with a man out there going out and doing his job and training and practicing and all that than the guy sitting there counting his money. When's the last time you sat there and just counted money, Michael? Because that's what billionaires do. At least that's what I think they do. I don't know what you do. No, we have had
gotta have money to count, man.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I'm just talking about payday.
I'm going through my change. I'm like separating my change. That's what I do at radio. That's what we do.
Dive for pennies on the sidewalk.
Give me that.
Derail a train for a quarter.
Michael and I are gonna go catch the couch cushions around here, checking them, see if there's any change. We'll be back on Friday to do more of this. Great show today. Thanks for showing up.
See you, buddy.
Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you sooner than later, right here.
Live from Central Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app, 105.5 WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
Hello and welcome to Laura's Lounge on 105.5 FM WIRI. My name is Laura and I'm happy to be here with you on this Wednesday evening. Hope y'all are well. Let's kick it off with Carrie Underwood.
Slow dancing with a bleach blonde tramp, and she's probably getting thirsty right now. He's probably buying her some fruity little drink, cause she can't shoot whiskey right now. He's probably up behind her with a blue stick, showing her how to shoot a combo, and he don't know.